a program director. At that time, it was stated clearly that a search would begin. You know this because you were involved in that search. A search would begin for a new host for this morning slot.
Exactly.
And over a period now of more than 7 months, nothing was done in that regard. 30 resumes apparently have been received, and I am in thorough agreement with you. What happened to the opportunity that those 30 people should have been given?
Okay, hold on.
To host this program.
Hold on, because we're jumping. Look, my point remains. And I will go back and address that, because you're right. I was a part of that process. So was you. So was Robert Knight. So was Grandpa Al.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, let me go back again. It still stands. The programming department, who knows the programmers, are supposed to make programming decisions. The management, the general manager, who is supposed to be in charge of the physical plant as well as raising money for the station, is supposed to do that. That's it. Now, if the programming department, in other words, if the public affairs director and the arts director say, we're abdicating our responsibility, they have to abdicate it to someone. And if they abdicate it to the general manager,
is that the full body of the programming department?
Well, I'm saying those are the two heads I know. They in other words, look, when Eutrice Lee came off the air because she became a general manager, someone sat in her spot, Hugh Hamilton. Now, how that should have went down is the programmer who just left would say to the programming department, look, I'm leaving for another job, another position. I cannot hold these two positions at one time. It's just untenable. It's not right or whatever have you.
Okay
fine. Then they say, well, what would you have us do? And he says, well, Lord, this is my program, and it was my program, and I had this person up before. This will be a good person to continue in the thing for as long as, until you have some evaluation process or how we want to put things in. And then that happens, and it just goes, but they have to run it past that programming department. The same thing for Wake Up Call. Now, Wake Up Call is even worse because, of course, the staff has been decimated, so there's a problem there. But I don't want to get into that because it's just too fuzzy, you know?
Could we give an opportunity here to a colleague who has joined us?
Well, before you do that, I want to answer the other question about the process. About the process.
All right.
Yes, this is WBAI in New York,
yes.
And you're listening to 99.5.
Right.
Somewhere near 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay, check this. When that process happened, I went to the program director at the time, Bernard White, and I said, Bernard, you know, we need a process for the morning show host. Now, I want to just do one program to show you what I think it should look like or whatever have you. And I
did
that program,
yes.
Okay, in the style of the Wake Up Call. In other words, I talked to the producer, Saran Harper. I said, what do you have scheduled? Fine, this space is free. Maybe I'd like to do this on the transit, or can we try to do something? And he says, fine, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. The problem is that, now, first of all, I never wanted a job. I should say that right now. All I want to do is show, is just put out a formula, a template, if you will, of how it should go. But I think that everyone should have sat in that job for a week, interacting with the staff,
mm-hmm.
the programming staff, so if you can see if you can get along with them,
mm-hmm.
and also the audience would have an entire week to deal. That did not happen. It wasn't my decision for it not to happen. That's the way I would like it to happen.
Why didn't it happen?
Because the program director at the time did not want it to go down that way. So that's what.
Okay.
So it wasn't organized that way, and it didn't happen that way. That's all.
That has nothing to do with right now.
Because
could we give an opportunity? Just a moment, please. Yeah. We want to say this is WBAI. We're moving on to at 8 o'clock. And Jabal Fry has joined us. He has a comment to make. He is a producer here and a colleague.
Now, what are you, interim or acting? You should be acting, I guess, programs of public affairs. What is your title, by the way, aside from producer?
Could we do this quickly? I would like you to remember that we prepared a program Martin Luther King Day that, in my judgment, was interrupted by a mantra that was, in my judgment, inappropriate.
First of all, you know, I feel very uncomfortable even getting into this situation here because I tend to say it like it is, and many times we do not actually like to hear that. I'm coming here, my first intention is, Clayton, to remind you that you're not alone in where you are. And as I sit there listening to what's been going on, I feel that I have to come here, and if my presence would make you feel like not just you're alone, But also, you happen to find yourself in a situation whereby you have a group of people who have been very careful in orchestrating, and not just the finger pointing, but to who have gained the expertise in somehow divide and conquer. And Sloan, you're very eloquent in all the things that you have said, but I'm so disturbed by it because you found the perfect forum for it, and you have been, as you said, introduce yourself, Doctors Without Borders. And I think if you are to be true to yourself, the first thing you need to do is to take the same effort you made on this airwave, off the air, to air these a point of view. I'm not talking about talking in hallways in front of the, you know, receptionist desk. No, to sit in a constructive meeting and air all these situations and see people's position first. And also, I would like to say one thing. As Amy, you saw me, you know, I've been here since yesterday, by the way, preparing some material for what is to be a day-long, you know, celebration and memorials. And last Friday, as you asked me, Amy, at some point you asked me, do we have any tapes about Dr. King? I say, well, Amy, actually, I have gathered about 5 to 6 reel-to-reel tapes. And 1 second, I will come to you, and I came to your office, and I told you that this is what we have so far, Amy. Take whatever you want and give me the rest so that I could get to work and service everybody. And as I went downstairs the same Friday, you were gone and your office is closed. And that's the last time I've seen those tapes. And what I'm saying to you here is that we have to be extremely careful how we operate here, because yes, indeed, we do care for WBAI. That's why we make the sacrifices. I do understand your position. But I just want to let you know that despite the fact, if those tapes was the only one, because this weekend I received some tape from the Archive California from my home yesterday on Saturday. If I did not get those tapes from Pacifica, everything we had was locked in your office and you just got here this morning. Is that true?
Jabel, I just want to say, I mean, you gave them to me and you said that keep them here and you would be in on Monday morning. And that was my understanding. And if I got that wrong, I'm really sorry, because I didn't need the tapes.
I was very clear. I said take whatever you want, because as far as I'm concerned, if Amy needs anything as a colleague and anybody else, and it's in my hand, what I have to do is to bring it and say, here it is, take whatever you want. And and you told me, as a matter of, oh, how many are there? About 500. Okay, I'll take what I want. And now you're telling me that you understood that I say keep them until Monday.
Yeah,
but
sorry.
How can I come to you, tell you that this is the only tape, these are the only tapes we have, and I have some work to do in the weekend, and I understand you misunderstood me.
Right, because you said you were getting tapes from Pacifica.
But I'm raising this issue to also inform the listeners that we are dealing, this is a very difficult situation to work in. And this guy sitting here, Clayton Riley, I remember when Mark Marshall and Jim was here, people were calling and say, why are you white person, you sitting there taking a black man's job? One, they did it to the first guy, another white man come, the same mantra came back. And now, Clayton Riley, who was on the program already, and of course, obviously, as a very talented journalist, because he has proven that in his many works, and even in the midst of this crisis, he has been an equilibrium in many different ways, and also bringing back some of the stuff that people were crying about here, the same old record poll. I do not condemn or support the firing of anybody.
Jabel, but one thing is for sure. Question.
Your question, listen here, my brother.
You didn't address my position.
Fellows, please.
He didn't.
What was your question?
My question is, would you have the general manager reach into your department and take a producer off the air and replace him with another producer?
Well, first of all,
I'm just asking this. Would you?
You know,
I guess you would.
Sloan.
Yes.
One thing is for sure. Where you going, I do not want to be there.
I understand. That's why you're not answering the question.
No, okay. I do not want to be there.
Okay, I understand.
If I may say.
And that explains, that explains
sorry,
everything to me.
I may.
Sorry.
If I may.
You may.
Enough of this, okay? We have precipitated something that is so entirely inappropriate, and I will accept my culpability in doing so. But this is an outrage for us to be doing this, for us to be saying these things, on this particular day especially. And I want to reiterate, or iterate, or whatever the term most appropriate here, Had anyone called me, anybody called me and said there was something so special about this day that we wanted to do something in a reflection of that, I would have been more than willing to participate. I did not hear a word from anyone in that regard. And it's part of the way we have found ourselves divided. It's part of the way we've apparently found ourselves suspicious of one another, that in my judgment, that did not occur. We certainly could have done the sort of program that has been described this morning if anybody had just had the courtesy pick up the telephone and say, could we in fact discuss doing this? Could we spend this weekend working out a preference? It was that important. And I hear people come on and say it was important for us in the past. This is what we used to do. You're not doing it now. But I didn't hear that effort made, and I think that my judgment.
Well, Clayton, can I make this effort? We should have a meeting tomorrow, a regular staff meeting tomorrow. Maybe this programming thing that Jabel is saying we just discuss couldn't be done, because I find it very dismaying that we have a structure that's not, that people are not owning up to. They're not doing their jobs. They're not working the structure that they're structured. So I have that issue.
Tomorrow
at staff meeting, in other words, you do the morning. I guess you've been invited to do the morning show tomorrow.
Anthony, if there is a staff meeting, certainly you may bring that.
I hope whoever's running the staff meeting knows how to control the meeting.
Well, it's 8:06, and you're listening to WBAI, and this is Martin Luther King's birthday. I know Bernard's going to be at House of the Lord Church today. There's a all-afternoon honoring of Dr. Martin Luther King starting at 1 o'clock, and he's going to be there soon after that. Lambe Brath and others will be there, too. House of the Lord Church is in Brooklyn. It's on Atlantic Avenue, I think between Bond and Nevins. On this day, I know a lot of people have off today. You can actually gather in a real place and be part of that discussion, and also honor Bernard without dishonoring anyone else, because that's really what we're talking about today. It's always hard to talk about in this kind of situation, but BAI is about tradition, and it's also about the future, and it's about melding of those things. And I still believe that we can all get together. I still believe that Bernard White and Sharon Harper can be rehired.
Could we get beyond this, Amy? You've said this three times this morning. Everybody, I believe, knows you feel that they should be rehired.
And that Janice K. Bryan can be unbanned.
Could we go on, Mark? Could we take a break from
this? And I wish everyone a very good Martin Luther King.
Would you take your microphone out? Let's hear something
birthday.
Else, please.
Hey, have you seen the movie Traffic? Are you going to go see it? Are you wondering, is it real? Well, I'm Vito, and I know about trafficking and drugs and all kinds of stuff. But Mike Levine, 25-year DEA agent, put me away for 15 to 20. And now I'm stuck in here, but we got to see a little bit of the movie. Check out Mike Levine Expert Witness Radio Show Tuesday, January 16th, between 7 and 8 p.m. Mike Levine is going to have on some agents, DEA agents, and they're going to tell you the truth about traffic. They'll tell you the stuff that you didn't get to hear. And I'll tell you about guys like me that they put away. I'm trying to get out of here. So remember, Tuesday night, January 16th, live, and you'll be able to make phone calls to these guys here. All right? And I'm trying to get out. So remember Vito.
Jump
on,
let
them
see.
Yes.
Love on unity.
On Behind the News, Monday, January 15th at 5 p.m., co-hosts Laura Dotton and Roberta Walker Kilkenny present Caribbean Perspective, The Life and Legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Guests include Professor Rex Nettleford, Vice Chancellor of the University of the West Indies, Dr. Winston James, author of Holding Aloft the Banner of Ethiopia, and Tim Hector, founder of the Antigua Caribbean Liberation Movement. That's Monday, Dr. King's birthday, at 5 p.m., right here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM, streaming at porus.com on the net.
other thing is that our problem isn't going to be solved until we get this nation to see that it owes the black man something. And it isn't enough to say to the black man, lift yourself by your own bootstraps. I hear this so often. I hear people, they'll come up and say, we're not criticizing your movement, but we just fear that you people ought to do something for yourself. See, there were many other immigrant groups who came to this country, and I came from another country, and we faced problems when we got here, but we got together and lifted ourselves by our own bootstraps. Now, why can't the Negro do that? Instead of all this demonstrating and all this marching, if I remind them, that's doing something for yourself, too. I don't think that's doing a good deal for yourself. But anyway, the last time I encountered someone saying this, I looked into their eyes. It doesn't help the Negro for insensitive, unfeeling people. To remind him that immigrant groups that have been in this country only 100 or 150 years have gotten ahead of him, and he was brought here in chains. Some 244 years he stayed in slavery. He's been here almost 350 years. The other thing that I had to say to his brother, you don't recognize the fact no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. Tragically, Negroes' color became a stigma. Negro was hated because of his color. The other thing that man didn't recognize when he told me that Negroes ought to lift themselves by their own bootstraps was the fact that nobody else has lifted themselves by their own bootstraps. I want to tell you the truth about this man. I want to tell you what our nation did. That's why it committed a grave sin. That's why it's reaping a tragic harvest today. In 1863, the nation, through the Emancipation Proclamation written by Abraham Lincoln, was freed from physical slavery. We had been in it 244 years. But you know, we were just freed from slavery, and they didn't give us any land to make the freedom meaningful. This was something like having a man in prison for many, many years, and suddenly you discover that he's innocent of the crime for which he was convicted, and you just go up to him and say, now you're free. Don't give him any bus fare to get to town. Don't give him any money to buy clothes to put on his back. Don't give him any money to get on his feet again in life. Every code of jurisprudence would cry out against this. But this is exactly what the nation did to the black man. It just said, you're free. Just left them out there, sinning. Illiterate. Standing in the midst of 244 years of slavery. Remember this, at the same time, America was giving away, through an act of Congress, millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest. That it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor, but it wouldn't give an acre of land to people that had been in this country 244 years in slavery. Not only that, the nation provided no interest rates so that these people could mechanize their farm. Not only that, today, many of these people are receiving federal subsidies not to farm. And these are the very people telling Negroes they ought to lift themselves by their own bootstraps. All I'm saying is some truth must be told here. It's nice to tell somebody, lift yourself by your own bootstraps, but it is a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And it's even worse when he gets a little bootstrap. one to be standing on the boot and telling him to lift himself by his own bootstraps. This has been it. Now America must see this. When one fails to see it, sleeping through a revolution. I'm so afraid that our Congress doesn't see this. I'm so afraid that there are all too many white persons in our country who don't see this. I say this morning that if somebody doesn't see it, and see it soon, curtains of doom fall on the American promise.